This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our guest is Eric Glenn, Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust. We'll talk in a moment. First off, Tricia Kovacs, Deputy Administrator with USDA's Ag Marketing Service.
Our Specialty Crop Block Grant Program goes to State Departments of Agriculture. It's non-competitive grants using a formula fund, and the State Departments of Agriculture then provide sub-awards within their state to locally led projects that enhance the competitiveness of specialty crops. Now, that definition of specialty crops includes fruits, vegetables, tree nuts, dried fruits, horticulture, floriculture, and nursery crops. And we do kind of have a list that we use for that, and the states are well aware of what those crops are that are allowed. They do those sub-award grants in their own state to support specialty crop growers through marketing, education, and research projects.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Our guest today is Eric Glenn. Eric is CEO of the Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust. All right, Eric, more on the Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust here in just a moment, but let's talk federal and state for just a moment. Do you kind of stay plugged in here?
Yeah, certainly. We, within Colorado Cattlemen's Agricultural Land Trust, and then within an organization known as the Partnership of Rangeland Trusts, which is a coalition of nine organizations that operate in a similar context to CCLT. Seven of us were created by cattlemen's industry groups. There are two other organizations that have direct ties to cattlemen's industry groups in their states, but weren't created by those organizations. And through the Partnership of Rangeland Trusts, we work squarely on advancing federal and state policy to make conservation tools and incentives work better for ag producers. That is our main objective. How do we look at these programs? How do we adjust policy to make them work better for ag producers, better for ag operations? How do we reduce some of the bureaucratic and administrative hurdles that landowners have to deal with when working with these and effectively expand that toolbox again? We believe that conservation can be a critical tool to ensuring that we continue to have family farms and ranches into the future and we have a robust ag economy. We need to make those tools within that conservation toolbox work as well for those producers and those families as we possibly can. So through PORT, we advance federal policy and state policy, but each of our individual member organizations are advancing similar policies at their state level as well.
Just kind of curious here, and I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but I've heard that we are on the edge of one of the largest land transfers in probably American history, with the average age of farmers, ranchers, and so I guess the question there is, without throwing out a number that I don't even know is accurate, does this work in maybe some succession planning options? How does that work? Are you watching the whole idea of succession planning?
Absolutely. And that's becoming a bigger issue for each of these ag land trust organizations that make up the Partnership of Rangeland Trust. The generational transition succession planning elements are becoming a significant amount of work and attention and focus for each of us. The easement is a tool that can be deployed by families to assist with that. And originally, back in the mid-90s, when this idea sort of took off within the ag space, it was primarily focused on that because what an easement does by nature is reduces the value of the property. So landowners were using the tool to reduce their estate tax liabilities back when the exemptions were much lower than they are today. Today, what we see landowners doing is using the tool as a sort of a combination of estate tax planning prep, but also easements can provide capital to these operations that then can be used to set up operating endowments for these operations, so that the next generation doesn't have to worry about where money is going to come from to pay property taxes or annual operating expenses. That you can use an easement to set up a series of financial tools to help advance some of those objectives in helping that next generation get a leg up. If you don't have that next generation coming onto the ranch, we're seeing landowners use easements as a tool to help ensure that maybe their neighbors have a better chance to get a opportunity to buy that, not an out-of-state wealthy landowner, and nothing against out-of-state wealthy landowners, but you know, our goals and objectives try to keep this kind of scale of agriculture in these rural communities intact. Best way to do that is keep longstanding families on these places, and we see landowners using and in partnership with our organizations using these tools to do just that. And that's the fun. For me, that's kind of the fun part of the work is if we can help a family stay in that community, and then the next generation comes back and stays in that community as well. All the downstream benefits we're seeing of schools reopening, new businesses coming in, opportunities like that are really fun to see how conservation can help move the needle in that respect as well.
We're talking with Eric Glenn, Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust. It's the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Our guest, Eric Glenn, CEO, Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust, talking about easements, if you will. Why does this matter?
Yeah, so let's take Colorado as an example. We over the last 10 years, have lost more agricultural land than any other state in the country. So if you're a producer in Colorado, it's getting harder and harder to operate. And easement can be a tool. The land trust can be a resource to help you continue to carry on that family legacy. I think for producers kind of across the country, why they should care about this topic and think about these things is again, it goes back to that analogy of a tool. It's a tool, and we need more tools if we're going to continue on the great legacy that we have in this country of having family farms and ranches as the main provider of our food source. And so one of the great things that we've found is that when we work with a landowner on an easement, they're going to give us input that's going to help us make that easement better. They're going to give us input into how do we make policy and the legal components of these things work better. So we really apply this approach of listening to the customer, who is the landowner. They're the ones that really do the conservation. They're the ones that grow the food. And they're the ones that steward the resources that make these places special. We need to listen to them and design these tools in ways that work for them. And And so the more landowners we can engage with that are giving us that input, the better we're going to make these tools. And I think that gives us the greatest opportunity to ensure we continue to carry forward this great legacy in this country of having family farms and ranches and rural communities really as the backbone and fabric of our great nation.
Eric, I've kind of shot from the hip here. I might have hit something along the way, but based on the questions I've thrown out here, I'm sure I've missed something. And you might be thinking, man, I wish you would have asked this, or I wish I had the opportunity to clarify this or say this. As we wrap up, is there anything else that help me hit something here? Help me have a target here. What else do we need to know?
Yeah, Tony, I would say what we need to know is this isn't just about conservation. It's about rural community resilience. It's about rural economic development. And that is such a big issue along with this generational transition. How do we keep these rural communities intact? How do we keep them in a place where they continue to provide the great cultural and traditional values that the rural communities do, and conservation is a tool to help with that. And I think that's really important for people, particularly policymakers, to understand, because a lot of conservation groups just talk about conservation of the resources. We really want to focus on it's the conservation of these land stewards that steward these properties and the communities that they're a part of. We can keep those land stewards, those family farms and ranches, and those rural communities in a solid place. You know, I think the future of the country, the future of the West, and all other places in between are is a lot brighter than if we just continue to forget about them. And I think there's a little too much forgetting about our rural communities today, and we need to change that. The other piece I would tell you is for landowners that are thinking about this, the biggest piece of advice that I can give them is choose your partner well. The entity that you are going to partner with, if you decide to do a conservation easement, make sure that their values align with yours. I think that is just so critical. And then recognize that everything in that easement is negotiable, and landowners should be asking questions, and they should be negotiating with that land trust partner or the government entity if they choose to do an easement with a government entity. Really push that entity to build that easement in a way that works best for that landowner and that family's operations, not just today, but long into the future.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Guest today, Eric Glenn, Colorado Cattlemen's Ag Land Trust. Where do we learn more, Eric?
Sure. So you can go to the Partnership of Rangeland Trusts website, which is rangelandtrusts with an S, .org. The Land Trust Alliance also has a website that has a lot of information about easements and land trusts that are operating across the country. Those are two really good places to go, good sources of information. I'll also tell you, NCBA has done a National Cattlemen's Beef Association has done a really good job with a series of articles recently in their magazines and in their publications about conservation easements and the ins and outs of them. And those are great resources as well for producers.
And this is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
A dent in U.S. topsoil moisture condition ratings. According to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey, not so much.
Across the country, topsoil moisture rated very short to short is 38%, and that is up 2 percentage points from the previous week. No change in the surplus soil moisture. That is steady at 9%.
Precipitation over the past week was reported in the Midwest and Northeast, contributing to boost the topsoil moisture surplus for several states in those regions. However,
on the flip side, despite recent rainfall in the south and parts of the plains, we continue to see some very, very dry conditions.
For instance, Colorado reports 96% very short to short topsoil moisture rating in its ag regions. In the southeast, states like Virginia, Georgia, and North Carolina report very short to short topsoil moisture condition ratings above 85%, even with recent rains. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.
It's the Agribusiness Report.